you guys brought your Bibles, we will be in Romans chapter 5 this morning. So that's the fifth chapter of Romans. If you're having a hard time remembering, for in the New Testament, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the four Gospels, then you have the book of Acts, and then you have Romans directly after that. We're going to set up the passage that we're going to read a little bit here, because many of you probably may not be intimately familiar with this part of Romans. The book of Romans, though, it was written to the believers in Rome by the Apostle Paul. Many would say that the book of Romans is a mini-gospel message from start to finish. That's why you may hear the phrase, the Roman road to salvation, because there's little nuggets in verses that jump out at you for what it takes to be saved throughout the entire book of Romans. In the book of Romans, you can start to see the need for a Savior as you start reading through the book. It helps put things in perspective. It helps to keep it fresh for us. Now, I encourage you guys all to try to read the whole book in one sitting. It's good sometimes to try to read it from beginning to end, not trying to pick each verse apart and draw from it, but to read the whole thing and see how it works together, not starting and stopping. It's kind of how I use the Message Bible and the Passion Translation sometimes in the readings, because they aren't meant for in-depth word studies. It allows you to kind of look at it and keep going with the big picture. There's a time to dive deep, yes, and we're going to be doing that here this morning, but there's also a time to get the whole picture. So you can go ahead and go back and read it for yourself later, but the first part of Romans drives home the point that we need a Savior. Our flesh nature has kept us apart from God. We're not perfect. We're not good on our own. We aren't anything when it comes down to it without Jesus. We need Jesus. We can't do it ourselves. I think that was the main point for over half the book of Galatians when we were going through it. We need Him. We need His righteousness. We need Holy Spirit doing the work in each and every one of us. So Romans 5, we're going to read the first five verses here. In verse 1 it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into His grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Now we're going to break down this passage a bit verse by verse here. There's quite a bit in just these few handful of verses. In verse 1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith," we're going to stop just after the first half of that verse. When you see "therefore" in the Bible, this is the way my mind always works. When I see the word "therefore," then I'm going back and I'm looking at the "before," because you can't understand the "therefore" without knowing the "before." So you go back and you look at what was already said to understand how it's being applied. And that's where Paul was setting up in the chapter before this, setting up the foundation that we needed a Savior, that we couldn't do it on our own. The law didn't do it. The rules that they were trying to follow didn't make it happen. When it's left to ourselves, we don't get it right. We don't get where we need to go. We end up messing it up when we try to do it ourselves. We've all sinned, but the good news is that Jesus removes our sin from us. He doesn't just cover up our sin like the blood of the bulls and the sheep did. He removes it from us. As far as the east is from the west is what my Bible says. But Jesus has made us just as if we've never sinned. There's only one way that we can do it, and that's coming to Him in faith, believing that He is the answer, believing that He is the Son of God. believing that he never sinned, but he died for us, and he died for our sin. He took our place on the cross to take the punishment that we should have received. After having faith in Jesus being who he is, we were found guilty from our sin, but Jesus took that punishment. So we can't receive that punishment again because Jesus has already received it. So at that point, we're justified in God's sight. We're just as if we never sinned. When you see justified, just remember, just as if we never sinned. Because that sin has already been dealt with. It's finished as far as he's concerned. He doesn't view us as bad anymore because he doesn't see us as us anymore. He sees us as he sees Jesus. See, we're sentenced for the sin that we had, but we're sentenced to being justified through Jesus so that we can have that relationship with the Father. Then Paul continues in the second half of verse 1 where he says, "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I'm going to chase a rabbit here, but it's a good rabbit. There's a difference in the peace of God and peace with God. Let's say, look closer there, verse 1 here. It says, "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So it's not to be confused with the peace of God like we so often think of when we think of the peace of God or his peace. Like when Jesus tells us in John 14:27, where he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let your heart not be troubled, nor let it be afraid." It's where Jesus tells his disciples that we were to receive his peace, that we can walk in that peace that he gives us. We don't think like the world does. We don't walk like the world does. We walk in Jesus' peace that he has left with us. Thinking of the peace of God, when you think about that in Philippians 4, starting in verse 6, where it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." God does give us his peace. He gives it to us liberally, and he doesn't hold back. He's not stingy about what he gives us. But that's not what we're talking about in this verse in Romans. This verse in Romans 5:1 is talking about us having the peace with God. It means that he's not trying to pour out his wrath on us. He's not looking for us to pay for it. He's not making it harder on us because of some sin that we had. He's not punishing us. He's not putting us in his penalty box for breaking the rules. We have peace with God because Jesus took the fall. He thought of us. He loved us so much above everything else. Kind of like how we sang that already this morning. But Jesus loved us so much that he took the fall for us to put us in right standing with God, to put us in the right relationship with God so that we would have peace with him. Because Jesus appeased God. He satisfied the sin requirement with God for us. He's the propitiation of our sin. Now, propitiation, that's a fancy Christianese term. It's actually found 4 times in the Bible. But it basically means that he appeased God. He satisfied the need for punishment for the sins that mankind had committed. God doesn't change. So when he said that sin needed punished, it had to be punished. But thank you, Jesus, that he took our place and took that punishment for us. He's the only way that we have peace with God. So this isn't the only time that we see this thought for the peace with God. It's not in a vacuum. It's not out in left field. If you look at Ephesians 2, starting in verse 14, it says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and those who were near." This is good news, because we were all afar off without Jesus. Without Jesus, there's no way we could be near to God. That's how personal he is. He made peace with God for us. Jesus did that for us because that is who he is. That's his nature. That's his character. Jesus made a way for us. It's only through him. I think that's a reminder for someone here. Maybe it's just for me. Maybe that's what I needed to hear. But I think God's reminding us of what he's done this morning. He's the one who made a way for us. It's only Jesus. It's only by Jesus that we're able to get anywhere. Jesus gives us that peace with God. Now, Jesus doesn't give us peace with the world. He doesn't give us peace with the principalities of this world. So if you ever wonder why some things get us worked up, it's because Jesus didn't give us peace with that. We're going to be at odds with the enemy. There's a good reason why he's referred to as the enemy. In the woke society that we live in, it doesn't make us thrilled with a lot of what's going on because we're at odds with it. So we're not going to have peace with it when we see it. Remember, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. That's why some things disgust us. It's why we don't partner with our sin, because Jesus took that from us. A mature Christian doesn't actually deny that he ever sins. It's recognizing it and repenting of it from anything that finds its way into our lives. It's recognizing it and turning away from it, not allowing it to take hold and make roots in our lives. It's recognizing it and saying, "Nope, not today, Satan. I'm not going to fall for it. I'm not going to embrace it. I'm not going to partake in it. I'm standing on what God wants me to do." Sin should be a surprise and not an expectation. We can't go, "Well, God knows I struggle with it, so, well, I'm just going to go ahead and do it anyway. He forgives, so it's okay." That kind of mentality is exactly what the enemy wants us to think. Yes, God forgives. We're going into the sin, forgiveness type of pattern. Doesn't get us anywhere. In fact, it's what the enemy wants. He wants us to get occupied with running back and forth with sin and forgiveness instead of going forward in what God has planned. So we don't play into greasy grace or sloppy agape. God wants us to recognize the relationship that he has for us and walk in it, not giving room for our flesh. It's a battle against our flesh. It's a war at times. But that's okay, because Jesus has the victory. He's given us dominion over it. He's so that we can use his authority that he's delegated to us. He trusts us to use what he's given us. It's there for us to use. It's like somebody asking to borrow the truck, and the response is usually, "Well, the keys are in it." There's no excuse that we have, because he's already given it to us, and given us the keys to it. So we use his authority. It's our fault if we don't use it. He's given us the power. He's given us the authority. He's given us the keys to the kingdom. Sin no longer has any power over us. The law that held the sin over the Jews' heads, it reminded them constantly that they couldn't do it. But then Jesus came and defeated it. He came and he destroyed it. He came and annihilated it. He came and removed sin's power. O death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Or as it's written in Hosea 13:14, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Thank you, Jesus. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction. Pity is hidden from my eyes. Jesus came already, and he conquered the grave. Death had nothing on him. That's who we have faith in. That just wraps up verse 1 here. Now verse 2. Through whom also we have access by faith into his grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So we stand in the grace that he has for us. We have access by faith to his grace. By faith is the key to so much in our walk with God. If you read through Hebrews 11, you guys aren't going to turn there right now, but there's a lot there that talks about faith. It's called the Hall of Faith by many. And we see over and over how so much is truly by faith. It says, by faith, Abraham had received the promise. By faith, Moses did all that he did. By faith, Noah obeyed God and built the ark. Likewise, today's saints, we receive it all by faith. By faith, we are saved. By faith, we receive his grace. By faith, we receive and use his authority. By faith, we operate and do what it is that he says to do. So standing in grace is the outcome of living by faith. Standing in grace here shows how we actually trust God, how we put our faith in him. We don't have to prove that we're worthy of anything that he gives us when we stand in faith. Because the fact is, we're not worthy of any of it. So when we stand in his grace, it's humbling ourselves. It's keeping the main thing the main thing. It's recognizing our dependence on Jesus. Without him, we're nothing. Without him, we're not able to do it on our own. Grace is getting what we don't deserve, because we really don't deserve it anyway. But thank you, Jesus. His nature is to still give it to us, even when we don't deserve it. So we stand in his grace, and we rejoice in what he has. The hope of the glory of God. The hope in Jesus. Faith and hope, they go together like peanut butter and jelly. They go together so strongly. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of that what isn't seen yet. He is our hope. He's what we have faith in. It's not faith in the promise, it's faith in the person of Jesus. Faith is critical to everything that we do as a believer. Faith opens the door to every promise that he has for us. Faith opens the door for every blessing. Faith opens the door for every gift that he gives us, every gift of the Spirit. It opens the door for using his authority. It opens the door to proclaiming his word. Faith is fundamental. So we embrace everything that he says and everything that he does by faith. We embrace him and his relationship with us. Faith that his nature is clearly seen in every single thing that we go through. Continuing in verse 3 here. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Tribulations, trials, hard times, opportunities, a swift kick to the butt, whatever you want to call it, they aren't useless. They're actually good for us to go through. I can tell you from experience, we are changed when we go through tribulations. We're not the same when we come out on the other side. You can't think about tribulations from going from valley to valley, because there's a victory after every single one of them. So when there's a victory, it's actually going from mountaintop to mountaintop, from victory to victory. Because through those trials, through those tribulations, he sustains us. He strengthens us through them. He empowers us through them. He gives us the victory. So often, when we truly embrace it and truly operate in his power in that time, we give him all the more glory, because we realize that it's only by him and our faith in him that we were able to get through it the way that we got through it. We can go through it with joy for him, or we can go through it with a sour look on our face. We're going to go through it. So I'd rather go through it praising him all the way. So we embrace him through it all. Sometimes we think that God's being silent, but the truth is, a lot of times he's already given us that next step. But because we haven't done the previous step when he gave it to us, we're not seeing what's in front of us, because we still have to do that step that he has shown us. So God wants us to recognize him all the time. He wants us to realize that he is truly good. You know, we live in a what we call a microwave society, in an instant world. If it takes more than 2 minutes for some things, we start getting impatient. Think about how long it takes at the drive-thru. A lot of times it's not as long as you think, but it seems like forever because we expect it to be quick. Sometimes you want to nuke something in the microwave instead of putting it in a smoker, instead of putting it in the crock pot. You know, we like the taste of what something tastes like out of the smoker. We like the end result, but we don't want to wait. Now, I've come to appreciate the smoker lately. And I get often asked at home, is it ready yet? How much longer do we think? Don't know. It'll be ready when the temperature says it's ready. We're not on a time schedule usually with it, because it does not take the amount of time you think. Sometimes it goes quicker, sometimes it's slower, but it'll be done when it's done. So we patiently wait, but we want it now. But it's so much better when we actually wait for it to be done. It's not meant to be rushed, but it's meant to accomplish what it was set out to do. So we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, we could go through and break down each one of those, but here's the summary of it. It's much like a seed. It doesn't grow instantly. It goes through stages. Each one has to go through it in order to get to the next one. If we try to bypass any one of those stages, then it's not going to work the way we want it to. We'll miss what he has for us along the way. We want that end result. We know that we'll get there, but we have to go through it in order to get there. Between every provision and the promise is the process that we go through. We have to embrace that. God has us on a journey. We might be somewhere in between lost and found and at the intersection of walk and don't walk, but we're on a journey. We're somewhere along the path. It may not be obvious at the time, but he's got us on the journey in the meantime. Our destination is heaven. That's a given. But here on earth, God's got us on a journey that we may not necessarily see every step that we're going to take. But that's okay. Because I'd rather be on God's journey than on my own journey. The Israelites, you know, they had complained and grumbled when they were in the wilderness. They didn't like what they were going through. God wanted to take them through something that was growing them. But they wanted what they wanted. We have to be willing to let go of everything and let God do what he wants. God's into journeys. We focus on the destination oftentimes, but he wants to take us through what we're going to go through, because the journey is just as important as the destination. Let's put these verses in the smoker and put a little more flavor in this. Reading it out of the Message Bible this time, in verse 1, by entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with him, make us fit for him, we have it all together with God because of our Master, Jesus. And that's not all. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that he has already thrown open his door to us. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. Verse 3, there's more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us, and how that patience in turn forges into the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. An alert expectancy such as this. We're never left feeling shortchanged, quite the contrary. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. I like this flavor. Holy Spirit, he seals the deal with us. Holy Spirit reminds us of God's goodness, of his faithfulness, his wisdom, his love. He freely gives all of that to us. He gives it liberally. He doesn't hold back. He does great things. He does wonderful things. He does impossible things. So when we keep our faith and our hope in him, hope doesn't let us down. Hope doesn't disappoint us. When we hope and have faith in Jesus, so let's release our control on limiting God with what an answer is that we expect. Let go of having the only one outcome be the way that we're trying to tell God it has to be done. God is into journeys. God wants to take us on something great. But if we're so focused on the destination, we miss everything along the way. So let's let our faith grow. Let our faith thrive. Let our faith be in the person of Jesus and embrace that relationship with the Father. By faith, it is said that everyone in the Hall of Faith operated. By faith is what we should be operating and be known by here today as well. receiving and pursuing his love by faith, distributing his love and grace by faith. I think we all have more faith than we give ourselves credit for sometimes. So let's walk by faith. Let's live by faith. Each and every day of our lives, let's take it by faith. It's a wonderful word for us. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for the measure of faith that you've given all of us. Lord, we thank you that you do not desire to keep us where we are, Lord, but you can desire to continue to grow us and strengthen us in your love, in your grace, in your mercy. So, Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to us, God. Lord, help us increase our faith. Lord, help us walk more clearly by faith. Lord, help us live out each and every day in our faith that for you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the peace that you have given us with you, Lord. We thank you for the peace that you desire nothing better than to call us family. So, Lord, we thank you for hemming us into your family, God. We thank you for drawing us in through you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for taking our sins from us, God, so that we could be in right standing with you. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for who you are, God. Lord, help us be reminded of our faith throughout the week, throughout each and every day of our lives. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We worship you. We honor you, Lord. We recognize our dependence on you, Jesus. We thank you for your very nature. We love you, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, Amen.